Well, in some of my random reading recently, for whatever reason, I came across a phrase that went over and over in it. And the whole idea was crisis ready. I don't know why I began to read in that area, but I began to read about the concern of organizations and leaders to be crisis ready, not just to deal with it when it comes, but to have prepared for it in different ways. Reading, it became evident to me that the whole COVID experience was a dramatic one in many ways. You think back, it's hard to remember how suddenly everything changed and everyone was taken off guard and nobody was really prepared for what was going to happen. And crises come and go in different ways. It's one of the realities of life. As we move now into a new year, one of the questions is, what is going to come? What is ahead? How do we not just be overcome by it, but be crisis ready? The Greeks thought of Janus as the god with two faces, looking in opposite directions. And that's why January, this last Sunday in December, we look back inevitably on this past year and think about all that's involved in that. But we also look forward into what is going to come in this new year and all that may happen or all that could happen and try to prepare ourselves for all that's going on. One of the things we can be sure of is that whatever else 2026 brings, there will be troubles. That's good news, isn't it? But we know that that's the way it will be, and there'll be challenges that come. In the middle of the Protestant Reformation, when Martin Luther was under great pressure, he'd occasionally turn to his associate, Philip Melanchthon, and he would say, "Come, Philip, let's sing the 46th. And he meant the 46th Psalm. And that's what we're going to look at. The same psalm that led him to write the hymn we sang earlier, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing." So, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 46 this morning. It's kind of we think our way into a new year. Psalm with a heading. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waves roar and foam through the mountains trembling at its indwelling. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come. Behold the works of the Lord, which is, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. We don't know anything about the specifics of who wrote the psalm. He's one of the sons of Korah. They were apparently a group that were set aside to write music for the temple when the people of Israel went to worship. You notice in the heading it talks about it being according to Alamoth. Well, that is apparently a tune or something, or maybe it's an instrument. Nobody really knows what it is. We don't know the specifics out of which this particular psalm was written, but you'll notice that little word Selah occurs three times, after verse 3, after verse 7, and right at the end. And nobody's quite sure what Selah means either. So there's all kinds of those details, but it forms a breaking point in the psalm. So there's kind of three parts to this psalm. First of all, in verses 1 to 3, psalmist celebrates the fact of who God is. God is our refuge and our strength, proven help, a very present help in time of trouble. And that description of God is rich in terms of what the Old Testament, they love to think of God as a refuge. I think it's 12 times in the book of Psalms. There is a reference to God as a refuge of one form or another. But it's not just there. Let me just quote several. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress, a tower. The righteous run into it and safe. Psalm 18, verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, and my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. We looked at Psalm 91 a few Sundays ago. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to Yahweh, the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Now, it's interesting if you listen carefully to that. God is our refuge and our strength, a proven help in time of trouble. Trouble is why we need a refuge. I found some words of wisdom written by Paul Tripp. Listen, it's rather lengthy, but it's helpful. In the midst of trouble, when you're in the heat of battle, you will run somewhere for refuge. You will run somewhere for rest, comfort, peace, encouragement, wisdom, healing, and strength. Perhaps in trouble you will run to other people, hoping that they can be your personal Messiah. Perhaps you will run to entertainment, hoping to numb your troubles away. Maybe you will run to a substance, trying your best to turn off the pain. Maybe you will be tempted to run for food or sex, fighting pain with pleasure. Since none of these things can provide the refuge that you seek, putting your hope there tends only to add disappointment to the trouble you're already experiencing. There is only one place to run where true protection, rest, and strength can be found. God really is your refuge and strength. Only He rules every location where your trouble exists. Only He controls all the relationships in which discouragement will rear its head. Only He has the strength to rescue and deliver you. Only He has the grace you need to face what you are facing. Only He holds the wisdom that in trouble you so desperately need. Only He is in, with, and for you at all times. He is the refuge of refuges. Do you run to Him? God is our refuge. And in the time of crisis, we will run somewhere, as Tripp says. God is our refuge, a place of protection. He's also our strength. In other words, a refuge is external in some sense. Strength works from in. And God is the one who strengthens us in that time of challenge and need. And he is a very present help in time of trouble. That's rather straightforward, isn't it? If something isn't present in time of trouble, it's not any help at all. But God is eternally present with us. And as we look forward to the things that come in life, ultimately the question is, where are you looking to for your strength? Where are you looking to for your help? Where are you looking for that's going to protect you? And as we move into a new year, the great question is, where am I going to run? Where's my ultimate hope? It's interesting as I read what follows, and in some ways you read it and think, that's fairly remote. Therefore, we will not fear, although the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam through the mountains, tremble at its swelling. Two issues are in this psalm. One is natural disaster, and then there's military issues, which we get to when we get down to verse 6 and down to verse 9. But it's interesting to read verses 2 and 3, though the mountains be moved into the beginning of the sea. There's people up in Wrightwood who 40 homes have been destroyed as the mudslide has come through just in these last days. There's places in Southern California that are underwater and places that have been swept away, and people who've experienced all of those kind of external things, that's not theoretical. That's where they are at this particular time. Things happen in that particular way. Very first time I ever spoke in Redlands, I was invited to speak, and we were staying in the Goodnight Inn in Redlands, which has been turned into a place for people who don't have housing since. It isn't the sturdiest building that's ever existed. And at 6 o'clock in the morning that morning, our building began to shake and rattle and move back and forth. And I remember saying to Elizabeth, boy, the trucks on the road must be awfully, thinking that was what was moving them back and forth, until I realized, no, this is an earthquake. That was the wind, 7.2, I think, on the Richter scale. Well, we didn't know what to do. We didn't know any better, so we tried to go back to sleep. But about 20 minutes further, there was a knocking on the door, and I opened it, and Ken Frizzell was standing at the door. He said, how are you doing? Are you okay? I was afraid you'd be packing up and taking a plane back to Dallas at this particular time. And no, we got that through that first one. We went out for breakfast, just Elizabeth and I. And then another earthquake hit on that particular occasion, not as big as the first one, but so we got past that. Then I was preaching two services. End of the second service, I was preaching from Acts chapter 4, and it talks about the disciples gathering together and coming for protection because of the difficulties. And at the end of the passage, it talks about them praying. And it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken. So honestly, as I prayed at the end of the second service, we got hit by this big aftershock. And I finished my prayer and I looked up. Two-thirds of the congregation were already out the door running to get safe. Well, all of that's kind of humorous, but the point is, trouble's going to come. And we have a refuge. And what you know about God will determine how you deal when the earth begins to move and challenge begins to come. as we move into the new year. Then he shifts the subject, and it's a little bit hard in some ways to follow, but you notice instead of talking about a city, about a refuge, he begins to talk about a city. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. And the most obvious thing is that he's talking about Jerusalem, where the temple is, and where God dwelt in the Holy of Holies within the temple. But there's no river in Jerusalem. Jerusalem's built on a mountain in a high place. The only source of water is a small spring, and its water is protected very carefully as it makes its way down to the Pool of Siloam back in the ancient day. It's one of the only cities, Jerusalem, where there is no nearby river, one of the only major cities in the world that's like that. So he must be talking not about the earthly city of God, but about the heavenly city, about the eternal city, the city whose builder and maker is God, place that God has prepared for those who love him. There is an eternal home. There is an eternal dwelling place that God has. And what is our relationship? And do we know that? God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. And then the contrast to that is the nations raise, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. One of the things that is certain is this next year is going to be full of the moving of nations. We don't know where they're going to go. Russia is determined, and the missiles keep flying, and the drones doing their damage in Ukraine. We think of stories all around the world from Somalia and Africa and different places and the Sudan, and even in our own country, you recognize the back and forth of nations and people and politics and government. And where do we look for strength and help? We want our politicians to succeed, or we want our country to be what it ought to be and is called to be. But the reality that only God is sovereign and only God ultimately gives us stability. And God calls us to live with the recognition that whatever happens in terms of the larger world, God is with his people. And we live with that confidence that God's purpose will not fail and God's will be done in the purposes of men. And then the psalm ends by, first of all, voice speaking, and then God himself speaking, and then the psalmist speaking. So listen, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he's brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. The nations which once were powerful and dominant are no longer dominant in power. God is sovereign, and one day God will move in power, and the earth will be all that he desired when the Lord Jesus returns in power and might. And so God speaks, be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. Amen. I don't know what 2026 is going to bring you. I don't know what it's going to bring me. But I do know that the call will be Gary. Be still. And know that I am God. And then I bring all that I know about the New Testament and all of the promises that come. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. What should we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his only son. How will he not with him freely give us all things? Who will charge anything to God's elect people? It's God who's declared you righteous. Who will separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Should tribulation or distress or famine, peril or nakedness or sword? No, in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loves us. Be still. And know that I am God. And in the last days of 2025, I want to challenge you to do that. As the new year approaches, to find time to be still in the presence of God and know him and his promises. And then you'll be able to say, as the psalmist ends, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I either am my own resource or I'm trusting in God is my resource. God is our refuge and our strength, a proven help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, but we will trust. Father, we do not know what the year ahead holds, but we do know you. You've revealed yourself in the person of your Son and in the gift of your word. You know each person here, and you know their hearts. I pray that each would know what it is to enter 2026 with a faith and trust in you, and a knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior. Thank you for who you are and all that you've done in Christ. Amen. At the heart of the Christian gospel is a simple fact that God sent his Son not just to be a good example and teacher, but to pay the penalty for our sins because we've all violated God's law. And the promise is that when we trust Jesus and the fact that he died for us as our Lord and Savior, he forgives our sin. And he gives the promise that if this year would bring the fact of our own death, we would go into his presence forever, into the city he's prepared for us. I don't know all of you who are here, but my great prayer, our great prayer, is that you would bow the knee before the Lord Jesus and lay hold of what God has for you in Christ. And the Lord Jesus gave a very simple not really ritual, but an action, that he called on those who've put their faith and trust in Christ to do as a way of reminding them that the Lord is our strength and our rock and our fortress. And that's what we call the Lord's Supper. It's just a simple little thing of he gave his early disciples a piece of bread and said, "This is my body, which is good for you. Eat it and remember me." And then a cup said, "Drink. It represents my blood." And this morning we're going to do that together. But let me say one thing. This is for those who've trusted Christ. You may not be there yet. Don't take the symbols, but do open your heart and trust the Lord Jesus and receive what he offers. So we're going to sing a song that reminds us of why Christ came and who he is. And then we'll, as we sing, pass the trays. And after we've sung, I'll lead us in taking the symbols together. Father, as we take these symbols, I pray that each one might know what it is to be trusting in your Son as Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.